This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. And as we've been talking about for pretty much this entire evening, our focus today is on Budget 2021 because the much-awaited vote, or at least one of the votes that need to happen for Budget, happened today.
Yep, and of course it passed by a majority vote, by voice vote. 13 opposition MPs did stand up to object and call for a block vote, but they were two votes short. Now, the budget will move to committee debates for around 3 weeks before it's tabled for a third and final reading.
Okay, so some of the updates today, there is going to be an automatic loan moratorium for the B40, as well as micro and small enterprises next year. The M40 are also eligible, but they will have to apply with their banks.
Yep, and the EPF ICNR scheme has also been expanded. So now all contributors who've had their incomes affected by the pandemic can now withdraw up to 10,000 ringgit from account one. And there's also an additional 300 ringgit one-off payment for frontliners.
So the reason why we're talking about budget in such detail, I think, is because this is a budget like no other. It is happening in a time of a pandemic. It is happening with a government that is somewhat unstable,
yep.
At a time where even the vote itself was seen in some ways, not in some ways, actually, it was seen very politically, that is the lens through which everybody's looking at it. So I think that for that reason, we kind of have to parse it in very separate ways, you know, on the one hand, the political ramifications, and on the next, what it means for us, the people, in terms of the economy.
And the politics for me personally looked a bit weird today. Not so much with, you know, how opposition MPs voted, but rather the fact that there seemed to be a lack of coordination right after several opposition MPs have saying they won't vote unless X, Y, and Z happens to the budget, right? 13 stood up. I would have thought it would have just been a bit more coordinated, or they would have come to some sort of agreement.
Well, there is also, I believe, some confusion as to what would happen if the budget doesn't pass. Because again, there have been mixed messages on this front, right? Like you have people saying that, oh, if it doesn't get passed, it means that civil servants will not be paid. It means that, you know, efforts to curb COVID-19 will be affected. Is that what you want? You know, and that's sort of been the tone on the one hand. On the other, you have people saying, well, that's not what it means. And that's not how it works. And it's not going to shut the government down. So I think even on that basis, and maybe that kind of thinking is also how is also what has informed the vote today in some ways. You know, you don't want to be thought of, and that's a question here, right? Like you don't want to be thought of necessarily as the person who blocked something that was much needed by your constituents.
That's true. In the meantime, though, we do have to remember that there is one more reading. So it'll be interesting to see if anything changes. 3 weeks, as they say, is a long time in politics.
So we are going to be crossing over very shortly to Bridget Welsh, who is the Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Institute, to get her take on all the stuff we just talked about, primarily the politics, because there is quite a bit to get into. If you have thoughts you'd like to share on the political ramifications of today's vote, what it all means, you can send them our way. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. We're talking today about Budget 2021, first from a political angle and later on looking at what this means for us, especially in terms of our economy. And in order to do that, we are going to be crossing over to Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Institute. Again, if you have questions for us, send them our way. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And tweet us at BFM Radio. Bridget, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Most welcome. Pleasure to be here.
So were you surprised by the outcome of today's budget vote? Because it passed seemingly without much of a hitch at all.
I'm not surprised that they wouldn't have called for the vote unless they knew they could pass, and it was a rush vote that they kept pushing. So, in fact, it's not a surprise at all.
So I was thinking, Bridget, of the optics of how, you know, opposition MPs were two votes short of calling for a bloc vote. After a lot of speculation over the past few weeks, what do you make of that? And do you anticipate any consequences for those MPs who stood up?
Great question. I think, first of all, we have to sort of dissect what happened today. So I think what I call this is political budget theater. So there are two things that happened. Right? First of all, UMNO officially got what it wanted publicly. Right? But I think that what's important is what UMNO got privately. And I think what we need to look ahead is the cases and how and whether or not they're being delayed and so forth. And importantly, the timing of national elections. The second dimension of what happened in the theater today has to do with what would appear to be an abdication of the responsibility of being opposition leader by Anwar Ibrahim. You know, I think that people were shocked that the opposition has not stood up, especially given the amount of attention that has been placed on the issues of the budget publicly and also within the debates in parliament. And I think, you know, people are asking questions about Anwar in terms of this decision and also whether or not he was played out by UMNO and what are the things that are going on to contribute to that. I think it's important for us now to recognize in terms of this theater process of how things play out in the committees. And there are multiple votes that have to happen at the committee level. And then there's also the final vote that happens in December. So I think the vote today was, in a sense, it looks very good for Muhyiddin Yassin, and it was very good for him. But I also think that it's not over. But I think the question now on part of this theater is that what were sort of the deals and things that were happening behind the scenes for Anwar Ibrahim? And I think, if anything, the lesson today has to do with him as an opposition leader, because what happened is that the opposition wasn't an opposition. Ironically, it was members of Amana and Mahathir Mohamad who stood up against the budget, and Anwar Ibrahim not.
So there has been some discussion about whether or not lawmakers would be fearful of being perceived as blocking funds, you know, or blocking a populist budget from being able to be accessed by the people. Do you think that that played into decision making at all?
No. I think that what goes on is about political positioning behind the scenes. I think these are the things that are really at play. And I think what we have are public narratives about, you know, what people are saying in terms of policy initiatives and others. But also, I think what we have behind the scenes are political deals and positioning, which I think is still very much at play. And I think that, in a sense, in part, one of the reasons perhaps that the opposition did not have a bloc vote is they didn't have the numbers. So in a sense, to lose would have been a serious step for them. So in a sense that they are actually in a waiting for a different type of battle.
Right. And looking at what was updated in the budget, the finance minister included a few amendments, like an automatic loan moratorium for the B40 and SMEs. Would you say that these additions played into what MPs, you know, were particularly bargaining for in the background, or no?
Look, they look good in public, so they look for a reason to vote in a particular direction. And I think that they show a level of compromise that we haven't seen from the government and from Zafrul as Tunku Zafrul so far. And I think that these measures are good initiatives. So I think that these are a win-win from a perspective of the initiatives that are being laid out. But I think that they themselves may not be the decisive ones, but they're part of the public narrative. But let's be real. These initiatives don't go far enough in terms of addressing the issues of the economy that people are facing, nor the issues of COVID-19 in terms of the economic and health impact in terms of the broader budget. But I think that the spirit of compromise is a positive thing. But I think that ultimately these were public narratives and not necessarily political drivers.
do you think that the budget is going to be passed in the final reading? As you mentioned, that there are still other stages to this process.
Well, I think, you know, all things being equal, given the circumstances now, we see a situation where the deals have been, if they stay, then I think that the budget will pass. I mean, I will be looking closely at what's happening at the committee level. And also, I think what's really important to recognize that there's been considerable public backlash and will be public backlash for how the opposition acted today. And I think this will also engender a reaction in terms of this process. I think ultimately, this December 15th, which I believe is the date for the third reading, will be a much more of an accounting, which was not seen today.
Right. And So after today's events, Bridget, what might we expect to see from the opposition leader in the coming weeks?
Well, I think we're going to see some battles in the committee levels. I think we're going to also see continued politicking behind the scenes. You know, a lot of this rests on deals that are being made or not made from different sides of the political fence. And I think a lot of these things we don't see in the public, but they are very much ongoing. And I think that, you know, it was very difficult for for Muhyiddin Yassin to pass the budget. Let's not underestimate the achievement that he made today. But keep in mind that there were a lot of political deals behind. There was a heavy reliance on the royalty, dependence on your allies, also making statements to the effect, the use, massive use of public media. And these steps don't necessarily indicate strength. They show weakness. And I think that every committee meeting and every vote will still be a test for Muhyiddin Yassin's government because of the sheer numbers that he doesn't have. And I think that, you know, it is a test. He is essentially in a minority government. And this was a vote that was passed by a voice vote. And I think that this, in a sense, also indicates something in this process. But that said, it is a vote that has passed. And I think his government should feel strongly relieved that this has happened. And I think it reflects a lot of hard work on their part to try to get it passed.
So we do have a comment here from Twitter from Darth Vade, who says, never has the process of the passing of budget been so confusing. Although there may have been a three-layer approval in years before, it was unheard of in the public eye. To the man on the street, you know, did the vote in Parliament pass or not? And so I just wanted to kind of tie this back to what you were saying earlier about this being theatre. And I wonder what the ramifications are of having these sorts of, discussions, disagreements, debates being played out more publicly than perhaps in years past at a time where the stakes are also somewhat higher.
I think they're positives, right? So I think that this is the budget that I would say in Malaysian history that has had the most scrutiny and discussion of the different measures. And I think it's useful to begin a policy conversation about these issues that will probably extend beyond the budget process. And I think there's greater awareness of the shortcomings, as well as some of the challenges that are in the budget. So I think these are positive things. But I think at the same time, there's tremendous confusion across the gamut of what is happening. Who is opposition? Who is government? In terms of the public debates, it looked like many of the leaders of UMNO were the biggest critics of the budget. And of course, they've ultimately voted for it. And I think that this process is a very complicated one, given the fact that there have been so many actors that have put their hand in this process compared to the past. So I think the comment is very clear and accurate in that it is a very confusing process because political alliances seem to be changing all the time. Previously, it seemed like UMNO was the opposition, and today what we saw is the opposition didn't seem to be the opposition. So I think that there are reasons to have elements of issues of confusion. But at the same time, we also have to recognize that with that comes a different changing relationship in terms of the way people see these political processes. It encourages a certain degree of awareness, but at the same time, it also encourages some cynicism and I would say greater accountability. And so all of these things are playing out in very interesting ways. And this should be seen and recognized as something as part and parcel of the democratic process in parliamentary systems. where people do understand that these are procedures which previously the parliament didn't count before as a body. And now it is become higher attention to it.
Right. And well, since the beginning of his term, the prime minister has been walking a tightrope. As you said, you know, on one hand, this vote looks good. But on the other, he's going, you know, every vote is going to be a test for Tan Sri Muhyiddin. If you were to look into a glass ball, Bridget, you know, and in your view, can we expect the prime minister to finish his term, or do you anticipate more political challenges to crop up?
So first of all, we ask ourselves a very important question. How long is the term, aka when are elections going to be called? And I think that this is something that is very much on the horizon. The second question is whether or not Muhyiddin Yassin can pass the subsequent test. Every single bill and measure is a test for Muhyiddin Yassin. And I think that we saw this an intensive test over the budget, and the test is not over. There still has to pass the final third reading in this process and others in the committee the areas. So, you know, unfortunately for Muhyiddin Yassin's government, this government has relied heavily on having to make deals for political survival. And he, you know, what he did today is he bought time. But the fact of the matter is he's still on borrowed time. And he is in a situation of high political precarity. And I think that those things have not gone away while the budget has passed the second reading and I think puts it in a strong position to pass the third reading. But at the same juncture, that is no guarantee.
Bridget, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Most pleasure. And for those of you who are celebrating Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. There's a lot of us that we have a lot of things to be grateful for. And I'm grateful to BFM for inviting me to speak and to also for the great coverage. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Bridget.
You too, Bridget.
That was Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Institute, on her thoughts on Budget 2021 passing at the policy stage. After this, we'll be looking at the budget, specifically on the point of view of, I think, the amendments that were made with Tricia Yeo of Ideas. So again, any thoughts and questions you might have, send them our way. In the meantime, some music to take you up to the news. It's The Beatles with Oh Darling, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.